There's a gorgeous backdrop. From Brisbane, Australia, this is episode 22 of the Normal Blokes podcast, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive Warhammer 40k experience. Today, I've stolen the host job from Denise, something I do not regret and will happily give back later. With us, we've got Luke.
Payo.
Jordan.
Hey, guys.
And the victim of my theft.
Yoda, great to be here.
Oh, Kenny Bishop.
It's you.
What's up?
What a great intro, Liam.
Well, you know what? I think that went all right.
Oh, my back's just been a bit sore over the last 6 months from carrying this team, so I'm happy you did that one.
Oh, fuck off.
How are we all tonight, boys?
Yes, very well. Still a bit hurt after that comment, but I'm good.
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Screw you.
All right. What are we going to talk about tonight, lads?
Well,
I thought you continue on as the.
Oh, do I continue on now? Do I take
as the repeater,
bro? You run it.
I am the captain now.
You're the greatest showman.
Oh, gee. Okay. In no way can anyone who's even laid eyes on me ever make a comparison between me and Hugh Jackman. That's an insult to Hugh Jackman everywhere.
Yeah, he's got hair.
It's so true. That man has more hair on his chest than I have hair on top of my head.
Fuck.
It's not untrue, though.
All right, so for all listening, I'll take the reins, boys. Today.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't sure what to say.
So, in this episode, we're actually going to run through a few topics. We're going to run through the Barry Bash, and we're also going to cover the Assassin's release. Later on in the episode, we're going to talk about ATC in 2019 in Queensland, and Liam is going to run us through a little bit of Oz Masters. And finally, we'll update you on the progress on our very own BrizCon, which is looking very promising. So, shall we take it away with the Barry Bash, boys?
Yeah, so Barry Bash was hosted in Barrie, Ontario by our good friend Scurry of Scardcast. Did it make GT status? Oh, sorry, it was major, wasn't it?
It was major, yeah.
Oh, okay, I've got 61 people on the cards.
Oh, I got 62.
Oh, damn. So 60-something. So, of course, we've had Scurry on a couple of times. Excellent dude. This is the 7th year he's run the event, is that right?
Yep. 7th annual Barry Bash.
Okay. All right, well, we'll go through the, I guess, the top 4 lists, if you like. Starting with number 4, if you guys like.
Yeah, that's Jim Vassell. You want to run it through, Denise? You want to hear your beautiful voice?
Oh,
it's definitely Blood Angels Primary. There's no way it can't be.
So, Demons Primary.
21% win rate.
Sorry, yes. I derailed that. Go ahead.
No, you're right. All right, so Jim Vassell, Demons Primary. What's he got? Chaos Demons Battalion. He's got Sloppity, and he's got a Poxbringer. He's got 60 Plagueis, 2 units of 30, and 3 Noglings. Then he's got another Chaos Demons detachment with a Changecaster, a Zinch the Corn Prince, 30 Horrors, 20 Blood Letters, and 10 Brimstones. And then he's got a T-Sun's Supreme Command with 3 Demon Princes, one of them with Helm of the Third Eye.
Is that Lumberjack Demon Prince with the big-ass axe?
Well, look, it's listed as a Corn Demon Prince with an axe. So,
I reckon probably is.
It's probably the Night Killer. He's also got Ahriman in that Supreme Command, the T-Sun.
Oh, wait, is Ahriman in there? Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad.
He's on foot.
Three princes and Ahriman.
Yeah, you don't realize what? Ahriman when he's not on disc.
Yeah, it's just random sorcerer run now with the funny stuff.
Man, I forgot you could even take him without. Yeah.
So this list to me is actually very interesting because personally in the Australian meta, I find like looking at CanCon and all that a 60 Plague Bearer horde, and I know it's got 30 horrors and 20 Bloodletters, but basically his screen is 60 Plague Bearers. To me, that wouldn't last very long in the Australian meta. Like, we're just so geared towards clearing hordes, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And I think on top of that, we're used to like versing 120 Plague Bearers.
Yeah, exactly.
All set up and we're like, well, you know how this is going to go.
Holy it's shit. Actually a sad day when you realize that we're so knee deep in pus that we don't even realize how good it is overseas. Because, like, you know, I think Diffie was telling me the other day,
sorry, not Diffie. Camilleri was telling me the other day. You know, I actually can't remember who was telling me that I killed something like 390 plague bearers throughout all of CanCon. If you look at my games.
Jesus.
And you're like, you know, like a lot of that was killing 30 to 60 in a turn. And that's not because my list is actually particularly built to fight hordes. It's just that if you can't fight the plague bearer lists that were hugely prevalent in the Australian meta, you're never going to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't really build a list unless it has some sort of element of just bulk shots to deal with, you know, can I kill 30 plague bearers a turn? That's basically what is one of my criteria.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Mine are like, can I kill 30 plague bearers? Can I survive being charged turn one? And can I blow up a knight? Like a Castellan.
That's actually it. Like, you think, I need to kill a Castellan, 30 plague bearers, and also cover the board with this list.
But see, the only fun thing about that whole bit is, can I blow up a knight? Because everything else is defensive. It's like, fuck, got to kill everything. And then the blowing up a knight is, when you get the good matchup, it's like, ha-ha, I gotcha.
But see, well, I guess, you know, one thing that started this conversation was, it weirds me out a little bit that I feel like those criteria are not the same in a lot of these ITC events that we see.
Yeah.
Because we see some lists that I think perhaps wouldn't perform to the same level do really, really well in some ITC tournaments. And I wonder, is that because players have a different checklist when they build lists?
Oh, yeah, 100%, I reckon.
Like, what's on that checklist?
Kill one, hold one.
Yeah, that's true. But also, I think we need to do a quick disclaimer. Jim Vassell is actually an excellent player. We're not discrediting Jim Vassell here.
Oh, yeah, no, no way.
We're just comparing the metas from, you know, down under versus across the pond.
This is absolutely if you gave Timmy the same list and asked him to fight Jimmy. Like,
Timmy loves his gaunt, doesn't he?
Timmy the gaunt.
Does Timmy sponsor our podcast? Who's Timmy?
Timmy. Timmy's the famous gaunt, one of Eric's 240 gaunts.
That's right.
And there that's is the one example. Gaunt and he's named.
Timmy dies, a tear is shed.
he's actually the high-minded. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I was going to say, with Jim Vessel's list, Jim Vessel's actually been on a number of shows and podcasts, and he's been doing really well in a lot of tournaments. He won one of the ones in Canada after I went over, and he actually got best presented at Capital C Bloodbath.
Good on him.
So, yeah, he won one of the New Year tournaments, or one of the, not New Year's, the ones just before the end of the year. But he's been doing awesome with demons, and he's been using this similar type of list where he's got like layers of bombs coming in.
Mm.
So he's got stuff like the pinks to come in and clear chaff, then he's got bloodletters to run in and charge and tie shit up while the plagues do their thing with the psychers behind them. So it's a really good format to have a lot of strike power. So I actually quite like the list.
The one thing that I never understand, so he's got 20 bloodletters, right?
Yeah.
I never understand, like, if he has 20 bloodletters and he loses one on Overwatch, doesn't he lose a bonus?
He takes 20, man, because if you take a unit of 20, it's one less CP to deep strike the unit, because the demon's deep strike strat works off power level. And I'm pretty sure a unit of 20 is like 8 power level as opposed to 9 plus.
Okay. That's tough trade-off, because, you know, the Overwatch, depending on what you charge, you're likely going to get one dead.
Yeah.
Which loses you the bonus, right?
I've seen, so for example, when I played Dean Sinbeck at ATC, his demons list had three units of 20 bloodletters. And I really rated that, like, retrospectively, because he could deep strike all of them and charge all of them 3d6 for 6 CP in total. Yeah. Which, if that starts adding up, like, you throw the first unit forwards, then the second unit, then the third, and they pretty much all make it with 3d6 plus one with the reroll. It's very, very reliable and very scary.
Yeah, it's definitely very powerful. Yeah, and Jim Vassell's part of Canhammer, right? From memory?
Yeah, so he's got that as his team name, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. He's. I don't know if he's part of Canham, but he always puts that team on there.
Okay.
We can head up to...
Just a brief look of in the top 10, or at least the top 5. There's, what, 3 Canhammer players in the top 5?
Yeah.
four in the top 10.
Yeah.
And one cash money hammer. Cash money.
Beast Coast for the win. But we'll go for number three, Devin Swan. So I met Devin at Capital Seed Bloodbath. He was playing Eldar at the time. But Devin, did you guys hear about the Warhound Titan on the Skarsgård landing pad?
What? No.
No?
So, start of last year, someone took a Warhound Titan for a 30k Heresy tournament, took a Warhound Titan on the top of the Skarsgård landing pad with a shield generator or something. But Liam, being a 7th edition veteran, that sounds heinous to you, right?
Well, look, I think that's it's about as heinous as saying that this can't really be killed and it's going to kill you, and it's sort of like standing a building on top of a cardboard box.
Yeah. So
I don't really understand the visually looks.
Yeah, so he played that at a Heresy tournament, and a tournament means a competition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, he took it to a Heresy tournament and all these guys were keen for like a fun narrative day, and he just put that on the table and just tabled everyone, and people were like complaining online and like fully exploding. So the next event he went to, him and his crew got these black t-shirts made and they had a massive Warhound Titan on a landing pad on the front. Anyway, funniest thing, they were all wearing it at Capital City Bloodbath. But anyway, I don't
know. Oh, no way.
All right. That's actually so good. You piss somebody off and then you make shirts about it to make it worse.
Like, there was a few podcasts I heard, because I love the Heresy book. One of them was talking about it and they were getting real emotional, and I just laughed a little bit inside. But anyway, we'll get on to his list.
Yeah.
So he was playing Tau. Jordan, do you want to hit this one?
Yeah. So he's got a Sacia Battalion, which is a bit odd, but I'd say it's because he's taken all the Markalites. So he's got... It's got two Cadre Fireblades, three strike teams of five, and the Shazu has Markalite.
Mm-hmm.
Detachment Tau. HQ's a Enforcer battle suit. It's got two Riptides with what I've been talking about for a while, Velocity Tracker on both of them.
Yep.
He's also gone the three Firesight Marksmen with the Ethereal, two units of seven Shield Drones.
Yeah.
And again, on the broadsides, Velocity Tracker.
Yep.
More interesting part of the list is 27 sniper drones.
Yeah. So just double checking, Jordan, because I think I heard you cut out a bit. You said two Riptides with Heavy Burst and Velocity Tracker and ATS, hey?
Yeah, yes, that's correct. ATS and Velocity Tracker. And then on the broadsides as well, he's taken Velocity Tracker instead of ATS, which I think's a bit odd, but...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Obviously, he's placed really well with this list. So this list is just, he's taken one of the Velocity Tracker to mitigate those bad matchups I was talking about.
Mm.
A keyword for Tau, like Eldar tend to be those bad matchups. And the Sniper Drones, I mean, that's to deal with probably Orcs, just to kill all those characters.
Yep.
This is actually, I really like this list. I think it's really cool. It's very similar to my list.
Yeah, it's nice that it's adjusted for like the current meta of needing to be able to pick those characters off, you know? Like all their sniper drones, what, they're like 60-inch range?
They're 48, strength 48. 5, no neg, but they're a 48-inch rapid fire, so...
Ooh,
man, that's strength 5 is so nice. And then when something's within 24, you're just rapid firing, you're just peppering it down.
Do they have the normal drone rule where they move and shoot without penalty?
Well, they're rapid fire weapons, so they don't get the penalty.
Oh yeah, that sort of answers my own question, doesn't it? Well, that's wild.
So, but he's got a drone controller on the commander, right? Does that apply to all the drones?
Yes. So the way the drone controller works now, Firesight Marksmen have another ability that allows them to make sniper drones plus one, and then with the drone controller makes them again another plus one. So they're three up. They're hitting on three ups.
Oh right.
Which is really nice. You land a single Markalite, and he's got the Sacia detachment, so that's not going to be hard. So he'll just single Markalite and then sniper drone dead. And that's what's really good about the Sacia detachment. You can't target characters with Markalites, but if you just place it on a unit near a character, that character's now got a Markalite on it.
Mm.
Scenario, you've got an Ethereal, make him reroll ones in the shooting phase. There you go, you've just done it. Like, there's so many ways around it. That's actually a brilliant list, and sniper drones. I think if you're outside of 12 inches of a sniper drone, then neg one to hit.
Okay.
There's 27 strong. Of them. Yeah.
But as well as that, when you look across the table at that list, you're probably not going to focus down the sniper drones if you haven't played against them before. You're probably going to look at the giant mech suit screaming at you.
Yeah. The burst hides just shooting 18 rounds at you every turn.
That's going to sting.
That's a good list, that. It's probably going to suffer from what all tower lists are suffering from at the moment, which is mobility.
Mm-hmm.
There is no target lock. But still, I mean, tower can just shoot. So that list, that I think, that's really cool. It's a nice little addition, and it definitely can deal with those plague burst, plague bearer lists.
Yeah, I'm still wondering why you picked velocity trackers on the broadsides. Maybe you was expecting a lot of Eldar or some flyers or something.
I would say that's exactly what that was, man. That's just to deal with that fly keyword, because on your Riptides, they might not be able to deal with it. Personally, I wouldn't have put on the broadsides, because then all the SMS gets no neg one, which is what makes an SMS really effective.
Because they have so many shots on broadsides.
Yeah, 24 for three of them. A 24 high yield, 24 SMS, which is 48 shots. It's just dumb, basically.
But it is a trade-off, I suppose. He's probably expecting a lot. The velocity trackers give him plus one hit against fly keyword, for those who don't know. But obviously he knew what he was doing, coming third at a major, especially at in Canada at the Barry Bash. But shall we move on to list number two?
Yes. Okay. The Instill Occult. Dustin Henshaw.
Who is most familiar with Gene Steel Colts at the moment?
Oh, it's not going to be me.
I was going to say it's probably not me either. I've only played a couple of games against them.
I haven't even played a single game. Yeah.
I can talk about them a little bit. The thing I noticed when I played Wayne's Gene Steel Colt, they have abilities to just spend stupid amount of CP before the game. I'm giving characters relics, like a lot of armies can now. They've got in the Acolytes with the heavy rock saws. All I know, those are like strength 8, neg 2, 2 damage in combat. Really good stratagems now. They can basically deep strike within 3 inches of a unit, but they can't charge that turn. So that's really good for units with the hand flamers. So he's got Acolytes there with the hand flamers.
Yeah, wow.
That's going to be really good for dealing with your horde armies, because that's 10 D6 shots. Probably 10's probably not enough. Wayne ran 20, and that was really, really good. That'd be great against a horde army.
Wait, otherwise, 20 hand flamers in a year.
Yeah, 20 hand flamers. They're a point each, so it's only 20 points.
What? 1 point. Holy
what?
Crap.
What?
Strength 3, no neg, 6-inch range, but because they can deep strike within 3 inches of you.
Yeah.
From underground, whatever they want to call it. They've also got another stratagem that when they do come down, they can, for a CP, or it might be for 2 CP, they can move 6 inches closer to a unit that did come in from a blip marker or something. It's also really handy because then they get plus one to charge. They've got a chapter tactic that makes them plus one to charges and advances. They can reroll foul charges.
There's a couple of ways to get them like closer. Like you've got the deploy 3-inch away thing where they can't charge.
Yeah, that's it. That was one that Wayne used with the hand flamers, and then he was also using the demo charges. So they've got some really good access to just ridiculous damage. But there was a unit that I don't know if this guy has added into his list, but there's a unit that Wayne was playing. They're so resilient. They can neg 3 damage to a model. It instantly goes down to 2 damage. So it subtracts 1 off whatever damage you achieve.
Mm.
They also get a 5-up feel no pain and a 5-up. I think they get a 5-up invol. They can turn that feel no pain into a 4-up for 2 CP or a CP.
Who's this? Sorry, the Aberrants.
I think this is Aberrants, yeah.
Aberrants, oh, yeah, they don't have an invert. They just have a 5-up armor, I think, and a 5-up field no pain.
Yeah. So they're ridiculously resilient. They don't die very easy. So
then they fight when they die. Correct, yeah.
With the when they anoint their thongs.
They've anointed. Yeah.
The anointed thong.
When they go smash with their street signs.
Yeah, I've only played one game against Gene Colt, and it was Simon who had a brigade and two battalions, I think. So we had some, 25 CP or something ridiculous. Can't quite remember. And pre-game, he was down to 17. At the end of turn one, he had 6 left.
Yeah. That's
fucking mental.
You look at these stratagems and you're like, that's great. Same problems. It's like the orc problem, but at level forehead ridge. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. You use so many CP because you're like, okay, in my movement phase, I'm going to use CP to move faster, and then I'm going to use CP to deep strike closer. Then I'm going to use CP to shoot better and cast better and summon a unit and then charge better. And oh wow, that's my 25 CP gone. Like, it's mental.
So you guys know that Imperial Knight meme where it's like chivalry intensifies?
Forehead ridge intensifies?
Yeah, I was going to say laughs in forehead.
Anyway, so apologies guys that we can't talk about this Gen Stealer cult list because we literally have no idea. Because it's like looking at the Matrix.
I haven't remembered the 85th character's name, so I just can't tell you.
No, that's right, because there is at least 700. Is the codex
on play for this thing?
It must have been.
Yeah, surely. Okay, what? They have Killamoths and stuff.
And they have Atlantean Jackals and stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. You know what blew my fucking mind? When the Killamoth pops in with his, 6-shot gun, and every shot he hits, he gets an extra dice roll?
Yep.
Yeah, and he's got,
damage gun. That dude's, 0 points.
Yeah, 60 points. He's an absolute fucking spastic. He nearly one hit my Space Marine captain, and I was like, wow.
Bro, you don't even know true fear till you've got two weird boys, right? With your amazing 6-up armor save. He's got that sniper, the Gene Stealer cult sniper with +2 to wound relic.
Yeah.
That is 48 inch range or something, hits you on a 2. Wounds you on a 2, and a 4-up does a mortal wound. And if he does any damage to you, you also suffer a Perils of the War.
Ooh.
Is that the Jackal?
That's the Sanctus, mate. The silencer. Yeah, the
Sanctus with the silencer rifle or something like that.
Ah, yeah.
Simon basically says to me, on average that does, I reckon, about 5 wounds to a weird boy. How many wounds do they have, Liam? And I was like, less than 5.
Oh, yeah, silent sniper. Yeah, 60 points for a Sanctus. There you go.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're getting... Wait. These assassins are coming out pretty strong, aren't they?
Oh, we'll get to that. Jack. I reckon the Garia.
Later on. Anyway.
Stay tuned, folks.
So, shall we move on to number 2... number 1 then. Huh? The winner.
Drum roll, please. Yes.
The drum roll. Denise, do you want to take this one?
TJ Lanigan. So... I've heard this guy come up on a lot of top tables. He's doing pretty well. So we've got a battalion of Chaos Demons with Changecaster, Pox Grimmer, Soppity Balepiper. We've got 30 Horrors, 29 Plagueis. So potentially a big Horror Bomb in reserve, and then nearly 60 Plague Bearers on the field. Then we have a T-Sun Supreme Command with Ahriman and 2 Princes. One of the princes has the Helm of the Third Eye again and High Magister. And then we have a Vanguard detachment of Death Guard. We've got a Demon Prince of Nurgle. We have 2 Foul Blight Spawns. And then Luke's favorite unit, a fat, chunky unit of Blight Lords.
It's only 7, this one. And then 2 Foul Blight Spawn.
Overweight, chunky unit of Blight Lords.
Somewhere, someone who's really into their fluff loves the fact that it's 7 models.
Yeah. I mean, they're really playing Nurgle this time.
Nah. When I read this list, I like a lot of aspects of it. Like a lot of soupy chaos lists, you have pretty much an answer to everything and you can run your units in a vast multitude of different ways.
Yes.
But one thing that I guess you know, as we've touched on too many times, I won't keep like going back to it, is that this particular list, I look at it and it doesn't like scream at me, this is so hard to beat. Like the Blightlord idea, I thought, to be honest, had been and gone. I thought that was a thing of the past. I thought some of these like list components do well. I didn't think they would be, you know, top of such an amazing, like a large event. But this guy proved it. It can still be done.
Yeah, obviously a good pilot. The thing I'm like, if like the Flower Blightspawn, for example, are a unique touch. So the Flower Blightspawn, for those who don't know, is actually the crazy everybody's what the fuck moment when it's a 3 damage flamer and 9-inch range.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So my first experience with these is I flew a Hemlock and on top of a building. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. This dude gets a Foul Blightspawn out of a vehicle, out of a Rhino, advances it. I'm like, oh, what's this guy do? I don't know what he has. He ends up flaming the Hemlock and just one hits it.
Hemlock.
And I'm like, yeah. How much damage is it? He's like, 3 damage per thing. I'm like, and what's the AP? Neg 3. Oh, okay. And then just Hemlock. So it just comes from nowhere, that thing. And it also has an aura within 7 inches. If you charge it, you fight as though you didn't charge. So if, you know, if two things charge in, your opponent, you know, accidentally forgets that, or if they charge two things in and one of the things is in range of the Foul Blightspawn and the other one isn't, he has to fight the unit that isn't in range of it first, which allows you to then interrupt and kill anything. So he'd obviously keep that around the Blightlords. So basically, you'd have to pick, you get one thing to fight them, and then it's his turn to retaliate. But it's a unique touch, because mostly, like, people run a squad of 10 of them, and that way you can get the two Flail of Corruptions. So it's different to run the Blightspawns, yeah.
Because the Flails are the ones that the damage carries over, right?
Yeah, it's strength plus 2, neg 2, and 2 damage where it carries over. But a little trick that I like to do with it is I actually Diabolic Strength the dude who has it, because it says model. So you can actually Diabolic Strength the guy who has it, which makes him strength 8, neg 2, with 3d3 attacks. That carries over. And you can just, it's really good for clearing hordes, surprisingly. As well as clearing
hordes. Oh, yeah, that would be crazy, killing hordes.
Yeah, 3d3 attacks at, you know, and, strength 8, neg 2, 2 damage, and just carries over. So it fucking surprises everyone. But yeah, it's a, you know, he's taken the list, he's put a bit of his own spin on it, which is the way we see things, you know, recently. Hey, like, you see a common sort of archetype of list that then everyone does their own little spin on it, like the Knight Castellan list, the Plaguebearer list, the Plaguebearer T-Sons list, and now we're seeing a variant with Plaguebearer T-Sons and Blightlord Terminators.
Yeah, you're obviously seeing the same list, but yeah, there's variations of them. People are just, like you said, people are just changing a few things to suit. Could just be to suit their local meta too.
Yeah, true. Yep.
Or it can just be to suit them. Like, end of the day, you're going to have some people play, I don't know, you could argue a not 100% optimized list, but if it's what suits their playstyle, they're always going to do better than if they just copy-pasted a list from Blood of Kittens or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Breya Bashmantle. Oh, Breya.
When is Breya coming back, Denise? We need to know.
With that Daenerys Targaryen egg.
When he's not 400 points.
He's good fun, though.
He doesn't get haywired to death. He'll come back. When haywire falls out of the matter.
I think I played you, Denise, when you were playing that thing. I think 3 or 4 times. And in every single one of those games, he did not shoot or hit anything in combat. I just walked away from him.
Funniest one was when you wrapped him with 20 shield drones, and I was like, yep, there's 400 points in the bin.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, he did get into combat with my tower. That's right.
Yeah, you charged the shield drones through a wall and then just wrapped him and then just kept charging more in, and as your riptide slowly walked away.
Yeah.
I think the worst day you ever had with him was brought him out of a drop pod, charged my Devastator, and he would have killed an Overwatch.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking mental.
That's nuts. That's actually so nuts.
8 or 9 wounds with a 4-up Feel No Pain with 4 las cannons is spastic.
Do you remember when you used to be able to take 5-up Feel No Pain from the strat and the 4-up Feel No Pain against mortal wounds? And he was just like, I am the Sister of Battle.
Yeah, that was That was absolutely mad. But he would be mad because he'd have a 4-up field no pain, then a 5-up, and then you put Psychic Fortress on him. So 4-up, 4-up, 5-up.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Because he would negate like literally 82% of your damage.
Very specific. Do nothing back. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
slowly waddle towards you.
Boy, Luke, I'm really sick of your negativity, man. He'll be in the Thousand Suns lines in, you know, 6.5 turns. It'll be fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
When everyone else is on round 5, I'll be still on round 1 walking Ashmantle to the back lines. They're presenting the awards at ATC and I'm like rolling my advance.
Oh, wait, hang on. Denise, did you just say he's 400 points?
Yeah.
Like flat?
Yeah, flat.
I know what's replacing Gilliman in my custodies list now.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, man. He's the fucking bomb. Put that 80 points aside for a Lucius drop pod.
Dude, 10 Alaris Termin and Ashmantle.
Nah, dude, honestly, Gilliman is way better for that list than Cockmantle.
Come on, but there's a band name here, like Ash and the Golden Boys or something like that. I swear there's a band here.
Or Gilly and the Golden Boys, and it actually works in game as well.
Yeah,
it actually adds the synergy.
And look, it's almost like a reasonable amount of thought into that list. But look,
the only cool thing, Liam, is you can technically strap him to the back of a Stormraven.
Yep,
I'm now, definitely imagining a Stormraven. Time.
Why haven't
like,
you done that
along
yet,
the ground? Like,
because that's a 700 point.
700 points.
That's fine.
And
that's
he's
fine.
Definitely going to roll that one. He's going to roll that one when that Stormraven
is going
to
roll that
loads.
One, and then CP that 201, and then. Yeah, it's just the pod is better. The pod
what if
better.
You go first, man? It's game over. Brightest in the back. Yeah,
it's fine.
Denise is going to go, hey, this is my 400-point Dreadnought. Oh, and this is my 300-point Stormraven, which is a Rhino and a half. Dreadnought
yeah,
this.
Literally.
And now I'm going to fly it over to your deployment. If you don't shoot it down, I win. If you shoot it down, you win.
But see, if you throw the Stormraven at them, they just wrap the base, like body block the base and shoot it down, and you can't put them down. That's the issue.
Then you've placed the Raven wrong.
Or your opponent has units that have a movement base.
Yeah, I was going to say, or your opponent has
like...
10 models in their army, bro.
Oh.
All right, we should probably get back to topic.
We assassins definitely stuff. Should. All right, assassins.
Shit. All right, so the new rules for assassins came out. Basic gist of it is any Imperium army with an Imperium or any Imperium detachment with an Imperium warlord can access these stratagems in White Dwarf March. So White Dwarf sales have gone up 45% in the last 2 months. But yeah, so it pretty much means if you set aside reserve points, you can pay CP for assassins instead of getting the detachment pre-game. So essentially, you can run 3 detachments of whatever you want, leave the points out, and pay the 1 CP as you like. And I really like this idea. On top of that, all the different assassins got special stratagems, and they all got put down to a flat 85 points. So main changes, the Calidus got a damage increase on her sword. The Vindicare got some sexy rules for his sniper rifle to do mortal wounds, and yeah, what do you guys think?
He's broken. Vindicare's broken.
Yeah, look, I'm actually going to sort of segue off to a side here for a minute because I have a oh my god, I have a lot to say about this assassin. Look,
it's fucking awesome. I think
yeah, like you know you sorry you Jordan you go.
It gives Imperium a bit of a chance now. I've actually got all the stratagems here right
now. We really didn't have a chance after winning the LVO, did we?
Yeah, I was about to say, man, Imperium literally won LVO.
Sorry.
We're back, boys. We're back.
Yeah.
Tau communism right here.
Yeah, I've got all the stratagems in front of me as well. So we'll talk about these assassins a bit and how broken they are. And then we'll talk about how broken their stratagems are as well.
I mean, I know a lot of people have been talking a lot about how good the Evasor is, about how you can drop him down, hit, get a 4-up, feel no pain, fight twice, all of the jazz. But take the stratagems aside for a sec. Just look at the Vindicare on its own. Like, just look at what happens if you put 3 Vindicares in insert Imperium army here, right? It's where fine. You shoot from the table away. You are a las cannon that ignores both cover and invulnerable saves. You do D3 or D6 damage. Oh, and by the way, your negs to hit also don't matter. But on top of all of that, if I managed to hit you and I just grazed your left big toe, thank God your vital organs are in your left big toe, because on a 3-up I do a mortal wound, and then on a 4-up I do a mortal wound. Like,
right.
What?
It's so good. It's just the best.
Oh, it's really not. Like, it's heinous. Man, if you take three of those, you can shoot any pointy-eared farseer and it will die.
Like, yep. Immediately.
Yeah, it's straight fucked, man.
Like, Eldrad is going to be... He's going to be in the ground. He's already dead.
Yeah, it sucks. I've played it, and yeah, Eldar suckers don't like it.
Yeah, so, like, this plus the GSC sniper... Like, the GSC sniper, obviously not as good as having three Vindicares. But this just puts the character rule... It just pulls it into line. You can't... Even if people were abusing it before, you physically have to hide your characters now if you're...
Yeah, 100%. Stuff. But, you know, let's tie that back into what you were saying about before, though. That's like the IPC meta super quickly, though. If there's a heinous amount of, I don't know, magic boxes, is it going to be as heinous, I guess, as it is here? Because, like, I'm looking at the last couple of tournaments I went to, and I'm thinking to myself, great, my weird boys in my orc list, they are cooked. They are already dead. Nothing I can do. But I look at some IDC events and maybe I could hide all my characters very easily.
Even better, just bring a Land Raider, pop it at the front of your army.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, man, I'll just take the Orc Land Raider. Sounds good.
No, yeah. you take a Grey Knight Land Raider and Gate of Infinity out of the way.
gate.
Oh, you wrap my Land Raider? See ya. Just imagine like a big Land Raider, like a little portal opening up in front of it as it's wrapped, and it just drives through. It's just fine.
It definitely DeLorean drives through. The portal opens
up. That's magic school bus level shit. Just paint your Land Raider as the magic school bus.
Just holy
shit. I would absolutely love it if somebody comes in like a full costume as well and starts trying to educate people while this Land Raider is teleporting around. Oh, God. That would make me unimaginably happy.
This Land Raider as a magic school bus.
Voldus has just arrived to educate your ass. And how the fuck he's going to teleport his Land Raider.
Guys, this is slightly off topic. Can I do a random shout out super quick?
Of course. Okay.
To the dude, I don't know your name. I don't even remember what you look like. But for the dude at CanCon who wore a pirate hat and his CP were pirate doubloons, the orc player. And as he was doing stratagems, he was just throwing like pirate coins at his opponent. I absolutely take my hat off to you. You are an icon.
Oh, you should have filmed it, man. That would have been sick.
Dude, I was walking around and this guy is literally, all his orcs are like pirate themed. He's wearing a hat and he goes, I'm going to more Dacker, and just like slams these coins down onto the table. Oh, and I'm like, you are the best.
That's what I love about this community.
Yeah, there are... Fuck, I heard there's a few characters at CanCon like that, mate. Now we had Magneto. His helmet on.
Magneto. Oh, get out of it.
We had Samuel Tarly, you know, we had a few characters.
Cerebro Strike. Sorry, back to topic.
Assassins. Anyway, back to Assassins. Jeez, we've been going off topic tonight, guys.
I know.
All right.
It's what happens when it's 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, all very tired. So is there any other Assassin worth mentioning? Well, I will mention, what is it, the Calidus?
So I think the combination of... So GSC have the strat to, before it was deploy outside of 9-inch, then move. Now they can physically come in 3 inches away, right?
Yeah.
Now the Calidus can potentially come in 4 inches away, charge. And the big thing that the Calidus has going for her is her weapon ignores invulnerable saves. So it used to do, you know, hit on twos, wound on whatever, and then it'd be just one damage. Now they've upped that to 2 damage. So it literally doubles her combat effectiveness. So another way to just fuck characters. Yeah, so that is probably going to make people pull their shit in and pull their head in. On top of that, the 2 CP you can pay to make the Calidus overwhelming terror or whatever is rule carry on for a second.
Reign of confusion.
That's it. So this matters in a few things. Like, hold on, number one,
describe what reign of confusion is first.
Okay, so. It's in the first battle round, whenever your opponent uses a stratagem, you roll a dice. On a 4-up, it costs them 1 more CP. Now, if they can't pay the extra CP or they don't wish to, they don't use the stratagem and their CP is lost. Fucking mental, right?
It's powerful, so, yeah.
So this is so effective because it happens turn one. But if people are waiting to turn two, you can just pay this command point and do it straight away. Now, against a player that you know is about to hit you really hard, amazing, you know, super amazing. And if they only have a certain amount of command points, the other thing is if you're about to hit really hard and you're afraid of getting vected, you drop this shit. And then someone vex you, four up, it costs five. If they don't have CP or shit like that just drains them.
Nobody wants to spend five CP on one strat.
Yeah, fuck that right off. And especially if they don't get it, like if they don't get it off or something, they need to use another CP to reroll it. That's potentially six, seven maybe CP just for one thing.
So that that stratagem is two CP. It's called Supreme Deception.
Yeah.
So choose one Calidus from your army.
Can the real Slim Slate Shady please stand up?
The model's Reign of Confusion ability is considered to be in effect until the end of the battle round. You can only use this stratagem once per battle.
Imagine using this. You don't have to use it on the second, right? You can wait till whatever turn.
Is it start of the round or is it... When is it?
Use a strategy at the end of the fight phase.
What?
Sorry. Use a stratagem at the start of any battle round after the first.
Oh, dude, that means if you vect it, you can just use it again because it's not in a phase. So you literally, there's no point vecting this. It essentially can't be vected.
I can't be vected. Because it's the start of any battle round.
Yeah, and so you use it, they vect it, you just immediately use it again because you have no limit for stratagems.
That's one of those frustrating ones.
It's like the knight one, yeah. It's like the knight machine spirit resurgent. You can't really vect it because they'll just keep doing it. It's insane. So you use that and it shuts them off. And especially if like they're getting ready for a big turn three alpha strike from deep strike or something. Or if a knight's coming into your line, you know it's going to fucking fight and blow up and do all its shit. Yep, just pop it. Super effective.
The Calidus also got another good stratagem, acrobatic as well.
Oh, what's that?
Use a stratagem in your movement phase. Choose one Calidus assassin from your army. That model can advance and charge turn. In addition, that around subtracts one from hit rolls made for attacks.
Oh, we can be Harlequins too.
Fuck yeah.
And assassins move 7 inches, so you've got a fairly mobile character that does mortal wounds with a gun and then is also killing characters in combat that can advance and charge. That's a really deadly character. That's a
pain. Bit of a Swiss Army knife.
Hmm. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I'd rate it more than Eversaurs, to be honest. Because Eversaurs, do a job, but other things do that job too.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's got good utility with her as well.
I think the thing that a lot of these assassins, that you highlighted, is that they're all 85 points now. It's not like, for example, you take an assassin's detachment with three assassins and it's now cost you 500 points. It's quite cheap. You can really, if you take one of each, you take four assassins, the amount of in-game manipulation you get from that. Like, you've got your sniper to make people play cagey. You've got your collectors to just shut down psychic powers. And I'm sure Jordan will highlight some of those strats a bit later as well. You've got the Calidus to mess with CP, deep strike close, harass units. And then you've got the collectors to just run into that crucial unit of scouts and blow them all up. Like, it's for what? 380 points? That's, less than that. 340 points.
Yeah.
It's ballistic.
Yeah.
So, on the stratagem, so I've already mentioned the Calidus ones. I'll get on to, so the Eversaur got one, which is Stim Overload. I don't think it's too crash hot, but the stratagem of the fight phase, choose one Eversaur assassin. It's 2 CP, and basically he can just fight again.
I like it just because it gets more use of the Eversaur, but it's like it's not game changing.
Probably the most, this is a stratagem I really like, and this is because, so this is for the Calexus. Now, I've played the Calexus a lot, and I've tried different ways of playing it, and my preference at the moment is starting the Calexus on the table, right in the middle of the table, wrapping it with some scouts so it can't be targeted by hemlocks, or another new one will probably now be the Gene Stealer Bomb with the hand flamers, or probably another one to kill him. like this one's called Soul Horror. It's 2 CP. Basically, use this stratagem at the start of any fight phase from your army. Enemy units within 3 of that model cannot be chosen to fight this phase until after all other models have done so. So that's really good because the Calexis is basically, I've always used it as a mid-board control. You throw it in the middle of the table, hide it behind something or tie something up with it, and that thing won't win all game, it won't do shit all game, and you've got a mid-board control for psychic. Do that, you know, you make that unit fight last, and for me, when I'm playing him with Blood Angels, bringing towards Sanguinary Guard, or Death Company, or something like that, it just makes it that little bit more effective. You can use a Calexis in that sort of way. I really like that strat. It's basically like the Vexator Mask.
It's a sneaky Vexator Mask. Because one of the things people do to deal with a Calexis is just wrap it with heaps of junk and then just walk away.
Mm.
So, definitely. And eventually get a key unit to get into the Calexis to somehow do some damage. Like, if they want to deal with it.
You just ignore it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so if they wrap it with junk and then eventually send a key unit to either slingshot off or do something, you can just do that. It's a good little clutch thing to have. I'm not sold it's going to be like super game-changing awesome, but it's just it's another little terror thing that your opponent's like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't engage this.
But you know, by the same token, though, the advent of Dark Eldar getting the Vexator Mask or including some Fight Last stuff into some very powerful melee lists have actually been game-changing. When I see an Eldar army that includes the Vexator Mask, that completely changes how I've got to play my game, playing, for example, Orcs, because if you bum rush, you're going to get slapped before you do the slapping, and it's going to be bad.
So, Liam, are we going to see Calexis Assassins in the middle of a big melee horde walking forward to act like a Vexator Mask?
You might. You might, actually.
Is that on the Doc Hackett drawing board?
In the next few weeks.
I can definitely see that working with your list, Liam, with the Terminators.
I reckon it could be huge.
Yeah. Hmm. There's another stratagem here which I think will work really well with Vindicares and Calidus Assassins.
Hmm.
Priority threats neutralize. Use this stratagem after an enemy character is slain by an assassin from your army, gain 2 CP. For doing so. Now, if that...
It costs you 1,
that's
though.
That's only 1 CP. It's 1 CP to do it. You get 2. If it's their warlord, which is very likely with 3 Vindicares, you get 3 CP. Then you can then go fuck them the turn after using the CP that you just stole off them to then make them spend more CP. It's just like being fisted. But they're wearing, they've got like 10 knuckle dusters on their hand. And it's just brutal. It's that.
Yeah.
Points now. And 3 of each assassin's just fucked.
I just cannot help but feel like the G-Dub Rules Studio or Rules Design Team are just like, they release a codex, right? Like Gene Steeler Cop. They're like, oh, this is going to drive them wild. Then snap. Like the next month they release these rules to just hurt them so much. Because you think about it, right? You take 3 Vindicares, a couple of collectors and stuff against a Gene Steeler Cult army, and you're like, I now have 40 CP. It's fine. Because think about that, you can shoot a Calexis. You can shoot Calexises and Vindicares, kill a Psyker, fine. You go to the fight phase, you kill something else. Cool. If I got the wall and something, I've just regained 3 or 4 CP this turn. Repeat every turn.
And then the Vindicare's got a stratagem, double kill. So Vindicare can shoot another target. It has to be a separate target. It can't be the same one they shot at in the same turn. So technically you're getting 4 Vindicare's assassins shooting in a single turn.
How many CP is that one?
This one, the picture's kind of been cut off, so I can't tell the CP. I'm going to say 2. Shoot twice, I'd imagine it'd be 2.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it's 2.
If it's 1, we're fucked.
Oh, we're all fucked.
And then someone's going to try and vect it, and then the Calidus is going to make it 4 or 5 CP, and then roll one, and then gonna reroll the one for 2 CP. So yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah.
It's just funny, Jordan, because you were listing the things that can kill Calexuses really easily, and the answer is Vindicares.
Yeah, dude, that's all we're gonna see. That is all we're gonna see. We're gonna see assassins killing assassins. It's great.
Denise, I'm preempting your question there. Yeah, man, it does, because it's the same wording as Dark Reapers. It says always hits on a 2+. So
it's not always. It doesn't say ignore modifiers. It says always hits on a 2+.
Pretty sure, yeah. I don't have the rules in front of me, but I'm fairly certain.
Just because the Calexus changes ballistic skill and weapon skill to 6+.
Yeah, and that's why Dark Reapers still hit it on 3s and makes him very sad. Very sad.
Yeah.
Oh.
So hey, Luke, is there an Eldar relic that allows Eldar characters to target characters?
No, it's a Warlord trait.
Oh, true.
Mark of the Incomparable Hunter. Cool.
Yeah, because an Autarch with a Reaper launcher doesn't hit on 3s all the time, does he?
No, he doesn't. He hits on 2s.
I was about to break the meta wide open, but never mind.
Nah, no Eldar ones. Only Morgan Ra can hit on 2s, and he always hits on 2s, but he can't target characters.
Yeah, true.
Just on what you guys were talking about with the Vindicare. So, special rule, Fateless Aim. If this model remains stationary in the previous movement phase, it always hits on a 2+ when firing a ranged weapon, regardless of modifiers.
Oh, yes.
This that's the money shot, right? Yeah. Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. So, you've got dead Calexus assassins by Vindicare assassins.
Never taken a Calexus ever again.
This is treason!
Taking a rhino to sit in front of my characters.
Oh my god, the rhino rushes back.
So, and seriously though, Vindicare assassins, they're 72 inch range. That is fucked.
Yeah, man, there's no hiding from them. Really?
Yeah, you know, they're almost as good as shock attack guns.
Oh, yeah, so Liam, are they more reliable than shock attack guns? Or no?
You know what? I reckon. In a ratio of per wound, no. I stand by that.
Like, it's insane, eh?
No, bro. I reckon if we're comparing, like, against Marines or against the Rhino chassis, like, pick one, doesn't matter. I reckon the shock attack gun wins out overall.
Fuck, it probably does. All right. Shall we move on to our next topics? Liam, do you want to quickly cover Oz Masters that you're going to now?
Oh, yeah. It'll be a pretty brief touch-up. Oz Masters is 9th and 10th of March, I believe, down in Melbourne. I believe it's at the House of War. We have some friends of ours going. Simon G is going. I know Adam is going. Most people from all over Australia are going. I'm pretty chuffed to be going. I wasn't one of the people who initially got in to go to Oz Masters, but we had some people who were unable to go. And so I slid in by default, the best sort of victory. I seem to be making a habit of this. Insert ETC team joke here. But yeah, it's going to be
flex, okay.
Oh no, it's that was a reverse flex, man. Me saying I'm the ninth man. There's already been so many of those jokes. But the thing that is really interesting about Oz Masters is, you know, as you guys talked about when you talked about Queensland Masters, it's one of those elimination events where there's a concurrent event being run where if you lose in Masters, you go and you play in their version of Scrubcrom. I don't know what they're going to call it. I feel pretty out of my league going to this event, but I'm going to give it my all, and there may be more than one Meganov going and at least one Shock Attacker. Put it that way.
Are they going to be in cover, those Meganobs?
They may be. Okay. They may be in cover.
Yeah, because obviously, I'm sure there'll be enough terrain to put all of your Meganobs in cover.
I'm actually just going to bring a Scar Shield Leg Pad.
Yeah, cool.
That's actually not a horrible idea. I should look into that. I have a detachment free.
Holy fuck.
Oh, sorry. Okay, anyway, back to what we're talking about. What's the next topic?
So yeah, Oz Masters, we all have ATC coming up. Luke and Liam are in the Queensland team. Players back for ATC just got released, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's on, what's it, 18th, 19th of May?
Oh, it's Age of Sigma this year, right?
Yeah. We're playing Shadespire.
Oh, best.
What the fuck? I had my Star Wars army ready.
Oh, damn.
Oh, nah, mate. Infinity. That's where it's at.
I don't have enough pewter in my life.
Yeah. But yes, ATC 40K. It's going to be fucking sick. I'm most likely going to be in the Merc team this year, so it'll be a lot of fun. So have a great old time. We're currently in the process of sorting out the Merc team. And you'll see us beat all the other teams, come second like last year. It'll be great.
Yeah, you'll do the West job and do better than the WA team. That was absolutely gold.
That was mental. Oh, God.
They were, and the best part about that team was that they were, from my experience, awesome dudes as well.
Yeah, like, they're straight up cool.
I played Rob, who I also met at CanCon, a Tau fella.
Yep.
And he wasn't actually a Tau, but, you know, he played Tau. he was just the nicest dude. Like, we're playing my first game at APC, a bit stressed playing this game, and I did like a clutch wrap with some Zangors around a single Fire Warrior, and he just looks up at me and goes, "That was sick, man. I just lost." And like, he was the fucking best. This guy's just having a laugh. It was very good.
Yeah, but
little did he know, it'll be just Ion Beam that single Fire Warrior and win the game again.
Bro, no one has done that to me since Jamel did it once in a game. And I was just like, this is the definition of for the greater good, where you spend 3 CP and orbital Ion Beam, 1 Fire Warrior to get out of combat. It's wild.
It's like when Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli come across all the dead Uruk-hai and fucking like Merry and Pippin scraps in there and they're just crying. That's how I fucking felt.
That was a very, very specific I'm just saying, man,
that exact emotion was what I felt. That exact fucking emotion is what I felt when Jamel bombed that Fire Warrior and all my 20 flayed ones around the open. I was like, yep, they're fucked.
Well, if we've got Timmy the Gaunt, we're going to have Jimmy the Fire
Jimmy the Fire Warrior.
He's looking at this old Jim.
That's old.
Sorry, what's next?
So final thing before we finish, BrizCon, we are currently at 53 out of 64 tickets sold.
Woo! And I'm at least 3 of those people.
Woo! Actually, Denith is 2 of those people, actually.
Actually, yeah, I had to pay for 2 dudes, and on the list there's 2 Denith Lianagamas, and I'm like, there's clearly no one else called Denith, dickhead.
Well, look, odds are in the Warhammer scene, probably not.
Actually, no. That's not true, Denith. There's James and there's Jemez. 2 other versions of you.
What?
So, when I get asked my name at fucking Starbucks or at fucking Boost or at Nando's, I'm not going to sit there spelling out Denith. So I say James. Have I told you guys this? I've said this for like years and it just like flows off the tongue. I'm literally James in an alternate reality. Anyway, one time the Nando's dude brought out the fucking chicken and he sees me and he's like, "You can't be James." So he's like, "Jamez," and I was like, "Fucking check your privilege."
It's literally like on the. He gives a receipt too, and it's just James, just plain James. And he literally looked at him eye to eye and said, "Jamez."
That is so good. That is so good.
Anyway,
Denise, I'm sorry, I may call you for a bit.
That's all right. That's all right. I'll happily take Jamez. But it's all right. One or more TOs called Deaneth, so it's okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. Big shout out to those tournaments. So, Deaneth, you will be very proud to know that at the Honorable QNK Bloodmageddon, excellent name for an event, where Lockie, myself, and Michael and a few other people all went up and played some games. Right when they were listing out the prizes, right before first, we screamed out, "Deaneth." We had to do it. We didn't have a choice. We honored you for not being there, but we felt like Deaneth deserved a reward.
Fuck yeah. Deaneth. I was there in spirit.
Oh, it's wild.
But look, anyone listening at the moment, by the time this podcast goes out, there'll probably be even fewer BrizCon tickets left. Right now there's 11 left, and I already know of 2 people from Victoria that are keen on coming up and are about to buy tickets. So there shouldn't be too many left. Please get on to BrizCon.com.au/tournament.html or just go to our Facebook event, BrizCon 40K 2019, and click on the link to sign up. It's a 2-dayer, April 27th, 28th. And Yeah, it'll be a good, great weekend. Lukey and Jordan, with the help of Jason Beasley from Queensland Gamers Guild, will be running the show.
I'm so keen. It's going to be a really good event, guys. Looking forward to it.
I had to tell a very hospital that the sick people will have to wait because I'm coming.
So, this, guys, we are about to hit. We've nearly doubled ITC GT status. We're about to be an ITC major.
Yeah, no way. That would be amazing.
You know, CanCon or WinterCon are majors. We're about to be an ITC major.
Yep.
Dean, also, I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of myself too.
I'm sorry. I am. You know what?
We hit the numbers.
You laugh. You laugh, right? But yeah. I go places and somehow people manage to either misspell or mispronounce Liam.
Isn't it's like the original letters, like man. Pronunciation of Liam, like Liam? Isn't that a thing?
I would not be surprised, but I've just gone to coffee shops, or not even coffee shops. I've literally just gone to restaurants and people will just look at my name, look me dead in the eye, just like you, and say, lame?
Do they tell you to get out of their thoughts, Charles?
What?
Charles Xavier. Don't even...
Oh, God.
Get out of my mind, Charles.
This is visual humor, just for the record, that apparently my hairline looks like Cerebro. So, it's not a great hair.
Okay, I need to stop. This is just dragging on too long.
On the serious note, though, the numbers that we are hitting for BrizCon is probably going to be now. It'll be getting close to double of what last year's was.
I think we're already past double what last year's was.
We're nearly triple what last year was.
So, you know, I don't think this counts as like shameless self-promotion because I'm not involved in organizing BrizCon. I'm just coming and playing because I love supporting events. But an absolute hat off to you guys for organizing this event because tell you what, you know, a couple of years ago, Queensland had some events that people would actually come, you know, from other states and play in, like Titans of War. That used to be an event that really attracted people from all over Australia to come play. And, you know, you sort of see an event like this and a little spark goes in my eyes when I think that what if BrizCon becomes CanCon? What if BrizCon becomes like, what if it starts to, you know, build up and sort of put Brisbane back on one of those maps where we can see people come from other states to play in Brisbane? I would absolutely love that.
Fuck yeah, man. Why not? Like, we've got such a big 40K community and we have such depth in our state of players.
Yeah. And I'm absolute hats off to you guys for managing to get that off the ground.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Thanks. It's all very exciting. It's only going to get better too. If this event goes really well for us and everything runs according to plan,
which it will. You
know, yep, that's exactly we should down the track. We you know next year the event's only going to get bigger and it's just going
to
keep.
We might be able to beat fucking AOS next year.
Are you guys down under or best coast pairing?
Down under. So, oh yeah, that's represent. A reminder. Any of our listeners who have signed up for BrizCon, first off, thank you. See you there. Second off, head on to downunderpairings.com as listed in the players pack. Make an account and sign up for the BrizCon 40K event.
Yep, I segue.
That's where list submission and all that will go on. What's up?
No, I just made a segue joke. Don't worry. We're all too tired for this.
Oh, man. All right. Shall we close off the show?
I think it is time for us to hit the bed. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, fellas. Coming on.
What's the bed done to you?
The rain of confusion is
assaulting the bed.
Fuck. It's too late for this shit. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Normal Works podcast. Thank you, fellas, for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
You're welcome, good. Denise. Yeah.
No worries. And anyway, for anyone who listened, if you liked our content, I don't know why, but yeah, if you liked our fucking content, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes. And of course, if you somehow still liked our content, leave us a good review, and that'll help new listeners find us. Cool. See you later.
One star for that average.
Three vindicates.